guests Pete and Jerome, who run the world's largest travel and lifestyle social network community website with 14 million members in 193 countries worldwide. Wow. All right, welcome, guys.
Hi, hey, how you doing, Michael?
Not too bad. So?
Yeah, not bad, not bad.
It's actually 15 million members, by the way, not 15 million, just why I would correct that.
All right, it's growing fast.
I was waiting for Jerome to say that.
I was saying that on your Twitter, it actually says we've got 18 million, so we'll go with that if you want.
All right, I don't know. No, I think I got that from your Twitter or something. I don't know, maybe. Anyway, so you guys run the world's largest travel site, social site, and that's called Wayne. What does Wayne stand for?
So Wayne stands for Where Are You Now? It's, as you just said, a lifestyle and travel community website with 15 million members worldwide. It is a concept that both Peter and I came up with just before we joined a company called Accenture back in 2002. We had the idea when we came back from traveling, and we started to brainstorm the concept whilst working for Accenture for a few years, and launched a site officially in 2005, after having secured some original backing from the founder of Friends Reunited, which was extremely popular in the UK when they launched in early 2000. And Wayne has grown ever since from strength to strength. We had about 40,000 users in March of 5 when we relaunched the site properly, and then it went on to about 1 million users by the end of 2005, point at which we decided to go full-time onto the business. And decided to really expand from there. And we've had, you know, obviously a very exciting, journey ever since. And Wayne is, as you probably have seen from the press and the latest being talked about in the industry, have had a great relaunch and a new strategy and new branding and things to be looking forward to.
Brilliant. That's great, guys. How did you manage to grow it from 45,000 members, I think you said, to a million in around 6 months?
Well, I think the first thing that we obviously did is look at what the other social networks are doing in the space, and we could see that the fact that you could invite your friends from other networks, whether it be your Hotmail, your Yahoo, your Gmail, and so on, was a very popular way in which to grow virally. And so we adopted a similar approach, and we were one of the first social networks to do that, and it helped us to grow much, much more quickly. We did use Google AdWords before that as a way of attracting users, but it was not anywhere near the extent of success that the viral approach that we took after that was. But I think that over time you realize that you can't rely on just contact import. You know, you need to have an element of stickiness to the site that's going to actually create the word of mouth viral growth. And I think that we were just, fortunately, we had a differentiated enough proposition, which was the focus on the travel and the lifestyle, which, you know, which no one else was really doing. And that, I guess, appealed to a certain segment of our audience to the point where, you know, we became the largest in that space.
Brilliant. And you've just mentioned you had to have your site sticky. I mean, how were you able to make your social network sticky enough for people to come back every day?
Well, I think there was the introductions of the alerts and news feeds that were first seen, if anything, on social networks like Facebook. I think many social networks and businesses have actually learned a great deal as to what Facebook has actually done. But we started to launch the alerts a good year and a half ago now, which was purely based out of the activities generated by the users and communicating with their circle of friends based on what the user was doing. You know, we've all seen alerts similar to, you know, you've been tagged into a photo or whether you've received a message and being informed as to what's happening within your community to drag the user back into their into their profile. But one thing that we've just really refocused the mind on is this new service that we've just launched, which is, if anything, focusing on what the users are up for doing. One thing thing that we've realized with travel, if anything, is that there was perhaps too much cyclicality and seasonality around what users were doing. You know, let's face it, travel is clearly a very exciting and very broad, you know, sort of focused angle. But one thing that we do realize is that the things that people do a lot more are the things that they do within, you know, their close vicinity and during the weekends or in the evenings, you know, whether it's going for a beer, going to the restaurant, going to the cinema, the theater, playing bowling, you name it. And I think that we really looked at the social network and its history sort of paced by social networks such as, you know, or perhaps reunion sites, shall I say, like Classmates and Friends Reunited, that were very much focusing on the past. And now we are very much, you know, fan and founder of the likes of, you know, Facebook and Twitter, which are focusing on the present with questions such as, what are you doing now? But no one was really looking at it to the future. So this new service that we've just launched, we really believe will allow us, if anything, to tap into a lot more active usage by really focusing the mind on what users want to do and inviting their friends to joining those plans.
That's really clever, Jerome. I like that. That's cool. You guys are like one of the most profitable social networks that I've heard of. You started with paid membership, I believe.
Yeah, we were actually, I guess we had the benefit of knowledge from the founder of Friends Reunited, who was our first angel investor, Steve Pankhurst, in the sense that they were, you know, growing a very profitable business in Friends Reunited. And at the time, there was very few competitors in our space who were, you know, offering a similar service to ourselves. So we felt that it was justified for us to charge a premium subscription service. And that was great for us to start with, because it meant that we became extremely cash positive and was generating a lot of profits. But it also meant that in some respects we were stifling the growth potential of Wayne, because obviously some people would not want to pay and therefore were not being as active to the service as they could have been. Coupled with that, we had obviously the explosion of growth in the new social networks that were offering a freemium model, such as the likes of Facebook and MySpace, and obviously now the likes of Twitter as well. It's become even more difficult to really justify a premium subscription model unless you really do have a truly justifiable or differentiated product that people are willing to pay for over and above. So we've kind of had a much more of a broader approach to the revenue business model since then. In fact, advertising represents by far the largest portion of our revenues, and we've actually developed some of the leading sort of spearheading social media type campaigns with some of our advertisers, which is something that we're very much encouraging to do more of. On top of that, we've also launched a microtransactions platform which allows users to buy virtual goods such as gifts, super rate other members and send say hellos, which is something that we see ourselves expanding on in the future. And in fact, we see plans, which is the new offering which Jerome alluded to, where people are obviously planning what they're up for doing in the future, as being one of the key enablers to bringing together a number of additional microtransaction opportunities, but I can't give too much away on what we're planning to do there.
All right, that's cool. So you mentioned you were very cash positive, but I understand you did take 11 million in your first series of funding.
So I think when it comes to the finances, you know, we can't disclose too much as to, you know, where we are and where we've been. But I think generally speaking, you know, the company was profitable from day one, as you alluded to. We've invested ever since a lot more clearly in the growth of the business. When we did the fundraising in 2006, it was an $11 million Series A fund. The particularity of that deal was a combination of money out and money in deal. At the time, we didn't need to take too much, obviously, equity dilution because of the fact that we were profitable and fast growing. And, you know, it's worth noting that 2006 and 2007 were really the peak of the market. So it was definitely a great timing.
Brilliant. I guess a question a lot of my readers and my listeners will be asking is, how are you able to attract people to fund your project as such? I mean, I understand you had David Soskin from GFlights.com come along and invest some money, and you also had the co-founder of Jagex, which runs RuneScape, a game I know very well. They came along and invested in also Friends Reunited. How were you able to attract these people in the first place to come and invest in yourself?
Well, I think it started with, if you look at cheap flights, it started actually from a commercial discussion. We were engaged with Hugo initially on the potential integration of cheap flights within the website, and those commercial discussions turned into an investment opportunity. Whereas people like Constant were actually introduced to us by other venture capitalists that we actually met in the circuit in New York. Brent was actually from a conference that Pete attended, and Pete went to introduce himself to Brent, and when we actually met our VCs for the first round discussion, we actually thought it would be a fantastic candidate for potential chairmanship and investment. And Brent joined when we introduced the opportunity to him. So it kind of, you know, all led, you know, one thing to another. When we met the VCs at DFJ as pre-capital partners around September 2006, you know, the process went very quickly. It was about 8 weeks from introduction to completion, and the VCs were quite keen to have an extra $1 million brought onto the table by a consortium of investors, and this is where we thought about having, you know, the expertise of a combination of guys such as Cheap Flights, Jagex from membership experience, and Brand from his travel and overall entrepreneurship experience would be a great addition to the table.
All right, that's brilliant. And another question for you is, I'm sure so many people have seen the growth of Facebook, Bebo, MySpace, and even Wayne.com, and are really looking to start their own social network. What would you say to those people who are considering doing that?
Well, I think that there's obviously a huge buzz in the social media world, and I think it's great and should be very much encouraged to have the entrepreneurial innovation that we are seeing. You know, that the industry that we are a part of, you know, is thriving despite the credit crunch and, you know, the impact on the economy. You know, the amount of events that we are attending to or being invited to and the sort of social scene is really helping to foment a bit of an ecosystem in certainly in London and beyond. I think that the in terms of setting up a business in this space, it is becoming increasingly more challenging in terms of finding a real business opportunity that's going to make money. But you know, it's like a needle in the haystack thing. You know, that it's very low barriers to entry in terms of setting up a website these days. You have cloud computing, you have like low cost of running systems, and that the actual time to market in terms of developing stuff these days can be very quick and can grow very quickly. But you know, the reality is that most of these businesses that are setting up have not identified a real revenue stream that is sustainable. And so I think that the real focus needs to be on, you know, where is the value? And I think that now with the current climate that we're in, we should see a flight to value, which is actually going to be a good thing, I think, because there'll be a consolidation in the market. And a lot of those sort of good ideas that don't really necessarily have any substance will kind of fall by the wayside. And you'll see the emergence of, you know, the real kind of the higher value focused propositions. But you know, the reality is, you've got to remember that the likes of the founders of Google, you know, their idea was very simple. They didn't think about a business proposition at the beginning, and it turned out to be one of the most successful business models in the world. So you know, I think that the whole innovation engine is a powerful one, and I strongly encourage it.
Oh, brilliant, thanks very much for that. I completely agree with you on the value side of business. You have to provide value before you provide anything else, and yeah, that's great advice. So what is your lifestyle like, guys? I mean, when I speak about the internet lifestyle, for me it's personally, you know, being able to work when I like, where I like, but what are you guys up to every day?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not as glamorous as being able to work from, you know, very exotic location on the beach with a laptop and a wireless. So it would be great if we could do that from time to time.
Excuse me, could you pass the pina colada over there? Sorry, what was you saying, James?
Mate, just be careful. We're going to hear the waves in the background. Peter and I have been very... very lucky to be able to do some sort of co-investments as an aside of the business in properties, and whenever we can, we try to escape and do work remotely 1 week or 2 weeks, maybe every 6 months, and we use those opportunities, if anything, to brainstorm, because one thing that we realize is it's amazing how much time is spent tactically on a daily basis and not enough time is being spent strategically, and very often it's when we go away and escape from the daily routine that we can actually actually come up with the innovation. And I think that, you know, we've always said that, that we should do that a lot more often. But I think, you know, our days, very much as we speak now, are, you know, focused operationally on the product for Pete. You know, Pete is spending a lot of his time really hammering the product and ensuring that the guys in Poland, where our second office is actually located, are focusing on the refinements of the new offering. And from my side, it's very much focusing on the commercial aspect, you know, especially in the current environment. We are a business that still, you know, predominantly relies on advertising revenues. And whilst we are potentially seeing a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel of this recession, we are still very far from the good days. And I think that, you know, we're having to work even harder than what we used to bring revenues, as many other businesses. You know, the advertising space is hard. Even if the penetration online is still growing, I think convincing the media buying agencies to spend these days is obviously a more challenging exercise. So I think that it's certainly not the lifestyle and glamorous, you know, of being able to work remotely and having the time to travel all over the world. If anything, it's very much, you know, keeping your head down and working as hard as we can, as long as we can, to move quickly, because we are competing in an environment where we know the technology is evolving extremely fast. It's very hard to keep, you know, to keep tab of what's happening, especially when you have leaders like Twitter and Facebook that clearly have a huge amount of capital and cash at bank, which allow them to grow very quickly and be aggressive. And unfortunately, there are many companies in this space that don't have the luxury of being aggressive because of lack of funds. You know, we are lucky to be a business that has capital, cash at bank. But, you know, saying that, we still have to be very cautious in a current environment.
Brilliant. Yeah, I completely agree. One of our past interviewees, he mentioned a really good quote. Entrepreneurship is living a life like most people won't. So you can live the rest of your life like most people can't. And I think that's exactly what you're doing. You know, you're putting in the hard hours now.
I think, you know, when it comes to the lifestyle, I think that the only thing I can say, and I'm sure, you know, Pete will agree here, if anything, the
hello?
The best life, wake up every morning and being extremely thrilled and enthusiastic about work. You know, we are passionate about what we're doing, and we've been doing it for years. And I think that the excitement about what we do is the ability of actually doing what we like best. And I don't think there is anything in this world right now that we could see ourselves doing differently. You know, we've always had the dream of leaving our corporate world to drive entrepreneurship every day. And now we're doing just that. So I think we should be, if anything, very grateful and recognizing the opportunity that was given to us, you know, to be able to do just that. There are very few people in this world that have been given this opportunity, and we're very grateful for it.
That's very refreshing. I'm glad you see it that way, and I hope a lot of people do. So why should I have a lot of readers on my site who are businessmen and they travel a lot? Should they be using Wayne.com?
Well, Wayne is definitely a mass market focus. It's not your kind of elitist or pure business focus only. However, having said that, it doesn't mean to say that it is not in any way useful for the elite, the business oriented folk out there, as well as everybody else. You know, the beauty of Wayne is that it's in some respects all things to all people, and the focus now that we have on the plans and the future should allow people to sort of coalesce a bit more around that, their future intentions and what they're interested in doing wherever they are, whenever they want to do it. So I think that therefore it's quite a transcending utility. I mean, if you think about Twitter wasn't built for business, but it is universally adopted by both business, social, and other alike. So I think that the challenge is obviously to try and not be too broad, that it doesn't appeal enough to a certain core demographic, whilst at the same time has the value to different key markets that are important to us. So to answer your question, I'd say that it's not primarily focused for business, but anyone, all of your listeners and followers, could certainly gain a lot of value from it. But I would say it's primarily primarily for on a social dimension than it is on a business dimension.
All right, brilliant. So to finish off the interview, I'd like to ask you guys a quick few fast action questions here. Just give me your first answers, and that'd be great. So the first question is, who do you look up to?
Sir Richard Branson.
Brilliant. You said it faster than me.
And what is the best advice you've ever been given?
Just keep believing, and you know, as long as you are very driven and believe in what you do, you should never give up, and also always surround yourself by people that are a lot clever than you are. I think entrepreneurship is all about ensuring that you have people that can actually advise you, and having a great team and trust amongst your close circle is by far, you know, the most important thing in success. I think that one of the things that has resulted, I believe, in Peter, Mike, and myself to get to where we are today is actually the three of us. The fact that we are very different, yet very complementary, and the fact that this triangle sort of co-founder structure has worked extremely well, because there was a great amount of trust. It sounds very obvious that you should never go into business with people that, you know, that you don't trust, but you'd be surprised about the amount of entrepreneurs and people that are either isolated or usually get frictions, tensions at some point in their career. We've been doing this, you know, literally since 2002, and 7 years later, we are still, but you know, like the palm of our hands, like best friends and business partners, which is great.
No, it's brilliant.
My side, just do it.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I say every day. It's a bit like Nike, but you know. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't
that.
Care. No. Or get involved.
Yeah,
get involved.
Definitely. And if the internet had not existed, what do you think you'd be doing?
Oh gosh.
You'd be Accenture, wouldn't you?
No, I don't know. I do have a few ideas personally that I would love to do at some point in my life, but I won't reveal them just now. But I think that there's a good chance that we would potentially still be working for Accenture. But I think we still had this sort of drive of working as entrepreneurs, and if it wasn't Wayne, it would have been something else. But we're glad it was Wayne, because it definitely has been, I think, a successful journey up until now.
Yeah, it could have been a string of restaurants, hotels, bars, you name it.
Brilliant, thinking big, I like it. And what do you like best about the internet?
The fact that things change so quickly, and that you can pretty much do whatever you want and get access to any information, and particularly on Twitter now, it's amazing. You can pretty much ask any question and find somebody who can help you, which is great.
What I find very exciting personally about the internet is the ability of seeing the result of your work, you know, extremely quickly. You know, I do remember days when Peter and I were just sort of flabbergasted at some of the results, that few changes were being made on the site and bringing amazing results that you could see literally by the minute, and observing the trend, you know, literally just have to have done a quick release. And these are part of the very amazing sort of exciting moments of an online business. Where you can sometimes just sleep, and waking up in the morning realizing that amazing things have happened whilst you sleep, and you know, the community is alive 24 hours, you know, 7 days a week, you know, wherever you are in the world, and I think that the internet is amazing for that.
Brilliant. And my last question here is, what do you like least about the internet?
The fact that things change so quickly, because it also means that your competitors can catch up very quickly as well. So keeps you on your toes.
Brilliant.
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you guys have any personal or business plans you'd like to share with us before you go?
How do you mean, sir?
Any goals you'd like to achieve? Any lifetime things you'd like to do?
Yeah. Turn Wayne into the largest, you know, and most successful business when it comes to lifestyle and travel online. I think we've got some amazing aspirations with this new strategy that we're launching. We've got great ideas as to how we're going to execute the monetization of this new strategy, which we can't reveal too much on about. And as far as we can keep on doing, you know, this job and driving Wayne to be an amazing brand, then so is the dream. I think we're not the sort of guys that will want to do Wayne and sell it and then move on to another idea. I mean, that could be a possible route, but I think that we're extremely passionate to the core of the Wayne brand. You know, it is our, you know, our first venture, and I think we believe in entrepreneurship to the core of actually driving it to, you know, to a long and sustainable journey versus doing something to sell it and then moving on to the next thing. I think we're more of the first option.
I would build on top of that and say that, you know, in the longer term, bigger picture, because I don't, you know, we're not necessarily going to be running Wayne for the rest of our lives. But I think that we definitely see that, you know, the vision of helping other entrepreneurs on their journey, you know, at the beginning of when they're starting up and, you know, being, I guess, active in the community to encourage entrepreneurship and hopefully help the next generation of entrepreneurs to realize their dreams. So it'll be a combination of an element of serial entrepreneurship, I believe, whether it be within the Wayne world or after the Wayne's world, and supporting those others who are trying to do the same thing.
All right, thanks, Pete and Jerome. It's been great chatting with you guys today, and a bit funny at the same time.
So, pleasure.
All right, see you guys.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Cheers.
No problem.
Take care.
Bye.